Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 1. And honestly, I got this before the Sunday school people did. And so if anybody says I'm stealing my message from the Sunday school last Sunday, that's not right, because I had it before they did. Amen. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Everybody said, "Very dry." "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise." Everybody said, "There was a noise." There was a noise, "and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." Praise God. I want to preach a little bit here. I felt like the Lord gave me this a few weeks ago, and I've just been mulling it over in my mind and my heart. And as I begin to look at it, it's very simple here tonight, but something I think that we need to see and understand as we march through time and as we go forward in living for God and doing the will of God. We forget sometimes some of the things that take place and the importance of some things. But I want to preach tonight about the three noises of revival. The three noises of revival. The Bible said there was a noise. Amen. There was a noise. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint the Word of God. We ask you to speak to us. We ask you to touch us tonight with the Word. Draw us near unto you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You may be seated tonight. God bless you. I began to think about noise and what it was that causes noise. And I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary on the computer. And it says, sound of any kind or proceeding from any cause, as the sound made by organs of speech, by the wings of an insect, the rushing of the wind or the roaring of the sea or cannon or thunder, a low sound, a high sound, etc., etc. Another definition is a little bit differently. It is an outcry or clamor. Loud, importunate, or continued talk, expressive of boasting, complaint, or quarreling. In quarreling, it expresses less than uproar. So, background noise. And those are two definitions that I got there when I looked it up. And I began to think about it, and noise is the result of sound waves. Did you all hear that? Amen. I heard it up here, and my hearing is not as good as it used to be. But that was the result of two objects that are striking each other. And the striking of those two objects together create a sound wave, and the sound wave goes through the air at some 700 and whatever miles per hour, and it reaches our ears, and our ears hear it. They pick up. And it moves the little hairs on your ear, and the parts of your ear begin to vibrate, and you pick up the sound, and you know what it is. Amen. God's a great God, isn't he? Amen. And Ezekiel, this vision of Ezekiel was one of restoration and revival. It is the picture of different steps that take place when God moves in a person's life and when God moves among his people. Ezekiel was basically prophesying to Israel, but tonight he's prophesying to us as well. And in the spirit, he saw this valley of dry bones that were very dry. And if we don't see this part of the vision, then we're never going to see the rest of it that comes. Because when God showed this to Ezekiel, he showed him the potential that there was in this valley of dry bones. And there was only one man that saw it. There wasn't a whole lot of folks there. And what I want to do tonight is to be able to see the vision. Amen. What I want to be able to see is the vision of what God wants to do and of what is around us tonight. Now, we can look at the world that's around us and we can say they are very dry spiritually, and that would be absolutely true. We're living in very dark times. We're living in times of great sin and darkness, and they press upon the church. The things that we wrestle with in the realm of the spirit are a result of iniquity and rebellion and sin that is in our world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible says, and we are faced with those things on a regular basis. I really don't think that we fully understand how much it presses upon us and how much the scripture is true that says we are as sheep among wolves, and we are struggling and we are reaching and we are praying and we are seeking after God and we are believing God, but there is a constant pressure in our day that is upon the church and upon the individual child of God. And if you have experienced that, you can say amen. Amen. Well, the rest of you are a lot more spiritual. Praise God. And maybe you could preach this here tonight. But I'm telling you that we are living in that time, and there is a lot of dry bones around us. And it is important that we look at things the right way. It is important that when we look at our world and we look at the things that are around us, that we look at them in the proper way. Praise God. We could get focused on all the things that are happening in our country. Others could be focusing on what is happening in their country. We support Brother Riggin, and they are missionaries to Zimbabwe. If you've been reading in the news about Zimbabwe, the military just rose up and took over the political system, and they are arresting people that are not doing the things that they should be doing. And I thought, go get them, guys. Praise God. And Zimbabwe is in trouble, and there are problems. There are economic problems. The only way that they can get money is to go to the ATM and get a certain amount every day, and that's all they can do. There is no more money that is accessible. And you say, well, that's their country. Well, I'm telling you, we've got some real problems here in America, and the problems have not come home to roost yet. But they will. We cannot borrow $20 trillion and not have a problem. Amen. We have great problems. But in this valley that we live in today, in this world that we live in of these dry bones, it's important that we see the right things and that we look at it in the right way. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And so we see the eyesight of man, and we see the eyesight of God. We see the vision of man, and we see the vision of God. The vision of man is it's too much trouble. There's too many problems, amen, and we can't do it. But in the vision of God's eyes and God's mind, there is a great revival right there, right before our very eyes. Praise God. And I think that part of the problem that we are looking at today is that we are not looking on the field. Amen. We are not looking on the ripe harvest field. It's too much work. I have enough and I don't need to bother. Amen. I have obligations and I have this and that I have to do, and therefore I choose not to look upon the field. But if I could impress upon us here tonight that the command of the Lord is for us to lift up our heads and to look out on the field. Amen. And the field is going to look like a valley full of dry, dead bones. Kind of creepy when you think about it. Amen. I would not want to walk into a valley and all of a sudden find myself in the midst of skeletons of people who used to live that had perished somehow and in some sort of calamitous way. And all of a sudden they're gone and all that's left are their bones in this dry valley of bones. We recoil from those things. We recoil from the vision and from the thought of it. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's not something that we want to do all the time when we look at it from the eye of the natural. Praise God. And I pray tonight that for us, that we will look upon the field and we will go out into the field with excitement and with a desire to do the will of God. Amen. Because when you go out and you see the potential, amen, then God will speak to you and He will show you what's going to happen and He will tell you what's going to happen to those dry bones before it ever comes to pass. Praise God. But what we have to have is a vision. Amen. What we have to have is not just a vision. We must have God's vision. Amen. We must see things the way God sees things. We must look at the world around us, not through our eyes, but through God's eyes. We must look at that person that we work with, not through our eyes, but through God's eyes. Amen. We must look at each other. Amen. Not as we see them, but as God sees them. Amen. I think our world will brighten up if we look upon the field like that. Amen. And my prayer tonight is that we will get the vision that God has for us, for our church, for us individually as saints of God here tonight, because you have a call of God upon your life. There is a purpose that you're here. There is a reason that God put you here at this point in time. And it's not just to fill a church pew. Thank God you're here tonight. But I'm telling you what, my friend, there's a whole lot more to it. There's miracles to see. Praise God. Oh, praise God. There's revival to be had. Amen. There is a mighty move of God. Amen. That will be written in the books that will be there from now on. Well, praise God. Here Ezekiel was in Babylonian captivity. By all indications, he had been made a eunuch. There was no future for him in this world. There was nothing that he could do. He could not escape. He could not change his situation. Amen. I've been hearing about slavery all around the world. There's more slavery in our world today. Amen. Or at least as much as there always has been. People being sold like cattle, amen, as slaves. And there is something about that that we can see here. Ezekiel was literally a slave, amen. He was in Babylonian captivity. He could not go to the temple. He could not worship God in the temple because the temple had been destroyed. Oh, he was at a low point in his life. Everything seemed to be going wrong. Amen. But thank God, he had enough understanding in his heart to know that he needed to pray. Praise God. Praise God. He needed to pray. And when he prayed, he got caught up in the Spirit. And when he got caught up in the Spirit, he saw a vision. And he looked out and there was a valley of dry bones. Wow. Real exciting stuff here. Amen. And this vision will happen. When you pray and you cast your eyes upon the field, the vision will happen. Amen. Because anything that's done in this world must be preceded by a vision. A building will never be built until somebody sees it before it's built. A business will never be started until somebody sees the opportunity and they go after their opportunity and make out a plan. A church will never be built without a vision, without seeing the potential of the area that they're in. Amen. And reaching out and going forth. Praise God. I wish somebody would help me here tonight. Amen. This prophet saw the potential because God showed him the potential. He said, I looked and I saw this valley of dry bones. Folks, we've got to lift up our eyes to the field. Amen. It's not all about having good services, and I thank God for the good services that we have and the move of God that is among us, and the Lord is moving among us. But praise God, it's got to be more than our four and no more. It's got to be more than just getting myself to heaven. Amen. It's more than just my husband or my wife and my children. Oh, praise God. We've got to cast our eyes upon the field today and see a miraculous revival that God has for us. Amen. And it has to be preceded with a vision. Amen. And he didn't really know what God was getting ready to do, but he experienced something. That I think I've learned through experience will also happen when you get a vision and you begin to act upon it. Amen. Ezekiel gave us something here that I want to try to help us with a little bit tonight. There was a noise. Amen. The Lord saw or gave him the vision of these dry bones. And he said, I want you to prophesy that these bones will come together. And as he began to prophesy, the bones began to come together and there was a noise. I began to think about this and I came up with three distinct noises that I find here in this story in the Bible. Noises that if we don't understand them, it will hinder us. Amen. It will keep us from moving forward like we need to move forward. Praise God. And the first noise that we see here in this story is the noise of preaching. Praise God. Prophesy to these bones, he said. Amen. And it may seem like they don't hear you. Amen. But you're doing something powerful when you witness and you share the word of God to others. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. First part of that I got wrong. It said, in whom they have not believed. And how can they believe without hearing? And how can they hear without a preacher? Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, it's more than just coming up with life's messages every time we get together. Praise God. I'm telling you, the power of the church is the gospel. Well, praise God. The power of the church is the gospel. And the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We die in repentance. We are buried with him in baptism. And we rise to walk in a newness of life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And if you're looking for more than that, I'm telling you what, you're going to miss the vision. Because God did not save us just to pamper us. Amen. God did not save us just to bring us into the church so that we could hear messages that would help us out that day or that week or that month. Amen. But God put us in the church, praise God, so that we could get a hold of the vision of God in the church. And that vision will help us to understand that the noise that we need to hear, that we've got to hear, is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've got to repent of your sins. And if you don't repent, the Bible says you'll perish. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, friend. I've been teaching Bible studies for 40 years. I figured it out tonight. For about 40 years, I've been teaching Bible studies to people. And I'm telling you, I never get tired of teaching the repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. I never get tired about teaching the oneness of God. You know why? Because at a certain point in time, in teaching the basic principles of God, a vision comes to the hearer of the word. Praise God. There is a vision that comes to them. And they see the truth of the Word of God. And then they act upon that truth that they have has been revealed to them. And when they begin to act upon it, I'm telling you, that's when the miracles begin to take place. And if it's witnessing on the job, if it is preaching from the pulpit, if it is teaching a Bible study, I'm telling you what, something begins to take place. Amen. The noise of prophesying will always precede a revival. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, a noise, the noise of prophesying, or the noise of preaching, and the noise of teaching will always, always, always precede a revival. Without it, you're just going to have dry bones. Without it, you're not going to have any spiritual life. You're just going to have a church program. All you're going to do is get together and pat one another on the back. Amen. But I'm here to tell us tonight, amen, God is interested in preaching. God made it so that preaching would save those that believe. But he also said here that preaching precedes salvation in a person's life. We cannot believe unless we hear. And thank God if it's somebody on your job that you heard it from. Thank God for that. That's hearing the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we've got to understand this first noise of revival. Amen. Samaria was a desert spiritually. Jesus went to Samaria, and what did he find? He found one woman that had a lot of problems. He didn't go to City Hall. He didn't go to the upper echelons of Samaria. But he went to the valley where there were dry bones. Because he had a vision. Praise the Lord. He had a vision of what could take place in that one individual's life. And then what could take place in the entire city through that one individual's life. And so he went to the well where he knew she was coming. And when she came, he said, "Would you give me something to drink?" And he engaged in a conversation with this woman. A lone figure, amen, spiritually very dry, as Ezekiel spoke, amen. And the words that he spoke that came out of his mouth, sometimes it seems like it's just going or it just went into the air, amen. And I know those of you that have witnessed and talked to folks about the truth, if anybody's asked you or you've tried to reach out to someone There are many, many times that you get the feeling that you're just talking to the air. Amen. That you're just talking out to nothing. And there are times in preaching that the word will go out and it seems like it goes out a couple feet from the pulpit and it falls flat on the carpet. And nobody listens and nobody hears, and it feels that way and it seems that way. But there's something that I've learned about the noise of revival, the preaching of the Word of God. It does not go out from the pulpit and fall to the ground. I'm telling you what, it is seed that is beginning to be sown. Amen. It is a seed, and you'll never have a crop. You'll never have a harvest without a seed. Amen. It is an impossibility. It cannot happen. But when you plant seeds, you will always get a return. Amen. It will always happen because of the miracle of the seed. And the Word of God is the seed. And when we preach the Word of God and it goes out, it does not fall to the ground. It might be just for one person. I've seen just one person touched in a service. Oh, we're all here, and maybe it didn't apply at that point in time, and we could say, oh, it just touched one person. But I'm telling you what, if there was only one person on the earth, Jesus would have went to Calvary for that one person. Every one of us here tonight are important. Praise God. Every one of us tonight are important to God and should be important to each of us. Praise God. Amen, because we're all going to spend eternity somewhere. And so Jesus spoke to the woman and the men of the city, she went to the men of the city and spoke to them. And then later in the book of Acts, Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And so again, there was a man, Philip, that had a vision of God. Samaria, the lower than the low. Amen. Gentiles were dogs in that day. But Samaritans were lower than dogs. Amen. They were crossbreeds. They were half-breeds. Amen. They did not have any social status whatsoever. But praise God, even in that valley of dry bones, Philip had got a hold of a vision. Amen. Oh, praise God. He got a hold of a vision of a revival in Samaria. Amen. He got a hold of a vision of people that would be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name and would live for God and would work for God and do the will of God. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, folks, we've got to have the Word of God. We've got to have the preaching of the Word of God. And when Philip went down to Samaria, he began to preach Christ unto them. And the city with one accord gave heed to the things that he spoke unto them. And a great revival broke out. Praise God. We've got to have a vision, but we've got to have the noise of a coming together. And the noise of a coming together has got to be in the right way. Amen. We just can't have any old kind of preaching. We've got to have apostolic preaching. The bones have got to go together in the right places. Well, praise God. Or you're going to have somebody stepping on their head. Amen. Praise God. You're going to have your thumb where your little finger is. You're going to have your arm where your leg is and your leg where your arm is. And you're going to be trying to get around because nothing fits together. How does all this fit together? How do I figure out how to live for God? How do I figure out how to put my life back together? Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, you're not on your own. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm thankful tonight I wasn't on my own because I did not have it figured out. But praise God, I had a preacher in my life. Thank God I had the Word of God to give me direction where this bone is supposed to go and where that bone is supposed to go. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to have preaching. We've got to have the Word of God. We've got to have the noise of revival. Amen. The next noise that I find here in this story of Ezekiel, the noise of revival, is the noise of a coming together. And this coming together is when things start to fit where they're supposed to. And I just said that. But noise is made when things strike each other and there's a collision of sorts. Amen. There's a collision. You hear the noise because two things have collided with each other and they come together. Praise God. And coming together and striking, fitting in its proper place. Sometimes, oh my, I saw a little clip one time of a young man that came into the chiropractor, and he was been bent over for years, and the chiropractor finally got to the place where he got him straightened out. Maybe some of you have seen that. And he was laying on the table all bent over like this, laying on his side. And the chiropractor said, "Are you ready for this?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm ready for it." And he got ready to do it, and the man tightened up. He said, "No, are you ready for this?" He said, "I'm ready for it." And he got his hand down there real close, and then he went, like that, just as quick as he could. And he hit him hard in the back where he was having pain and where he couldn't straighten it out. And the young man jerked, and he was in pain as he hit him. And yet, before he left that day, he could do things that he couldn't do before because those bones were not together like they should have been. They were off, and they were pinching, and they were not working properly. Amen. But it took the noise. It took some pain. Amen. It took some difficulties to get things fitted together right. Well, praise God. I know everybody here tonight's got it all figured out. But I'm telling you what, when folks come into the kingdom of God, they don't have it all figured out. And we cannot expect everything to just flow perfectly and for everything to happen exactly like it should all the time. I think about the temple that was being built in the Old Testament. And the Bible says it was built in silence. It was put together in silence, but there was real work being done in the quarry. It was in the pit. It was in the valley. It was in that place where the dust of the stones and the shouting and the pain. Don't tell me that in that quarry, in the building of that temple, that some people probably lost one eye as a stone was chipped out and that stone flew up and hit them in the eye. They didn't have face shields and so forth. Don't tell me that somebody didn't miss their target and smash their hand with a hammer and break a finger. Don't tell me that some of those stones did not have the blood of the workers upon them. How many of you have ever worked construction and smashed a finger? I got my finger up. I mean my hand up. Blood. How many's ever stepped off of something and twisted your ankle? I did that one time. I was working in Andover, and I got off of my pickup truck, and I stepped down, and this right foot just went totally, completely sideways, and I went all the way down on it. It was so painful. I felt like crying, but then I thought, what good's it going to do for me to cry? It's not going to fix anything, and I'll just look foolish sitting out here crying. Amen. So I just sat there for a little while and prayed. And I dare not take my shoe off because my leg swelled out over the shoe. Amen. That's what happens when you do things. Praise God. I remember putting the roof on this church here, the very first roof that we did. We sheeted it, and some of you might remember that. And Dennis was out here helping, and some of the others was out here helping. Maybe not. I don't know. But we had it all tar papered on this side over here, and it's a fairly good peak. I mean, it's at an angle, and it started to rain. And lightning was coming down, and I was up on that peak over there. And Mrs. Lawler was going to come out and holler at me and tell me to get off of the church because lightning's coming down. And the rain started coming down heavy, and it got slippery, and I started to slide off of the roof. I slid all the way down that roof over to the flat side over there. And I thanked God all the way for a flat side of the church. And I hit the other side, and everything was okay. But if I would have slid off the other side of the church, I probably would have ended up at the hospital. I remember picking up four by eight sheets of plywood. The delivery truck had brought them, and they backed up, and they would hand me a sheet, and I'd bend over and pick it up and bring it up and set it on the flat roof. And I don't remember how many sheets it took to sheet the roof of the church here, but there was a lot. And I was picking up those sheets, feeling really good, and I picked up one, and as I bent over and I pulled up, I felt it in the bottom of my back. I knew that I had thrown something out, and so I immediately stopped, and I went and got my back brace and put it on, and everything felt fine. And that night, I was lying in bed, and at that time, we had a water bed. Don't ever get a water bed. Just don't do it. I thought maybe, you know, the Spirit of the Lord moves on the face of the water. It would help me in preaching, but it didn't. I could not get out of the waterbed. I could not get out. My back was in such pain. I was bent over, and I finally got out, and I told my wife, I said, push me up against the wall. Just push me till I'm straight. And she pushed on me and pushed until I got straight, and I broke out in a sweat and nearly passed out. The pain was so bad. That's what happens when you do construction work. And folks, if we think that we're going to build a church by having a cute program, if we think we're going to have a great revival without some pain and suffering, without some involvement, there was shouting in that pit. Bring that stone over here. I said over here. In that pit, there were men that got in conflict with each other. That's my hammer. That's my hammer. I'll tell you what. I'll use it on you. I'll take it off and I'll take it from your hands and use it on you. Anybody ever worked on a job like that? Well, praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us here today. There's a noise of revival, the noise of coming together. Amen. There is a noise of coming together. Don't expect everyone to see the vision. Praise the Lord. Don't expect everyone to be perfect that comes into the church. But praise God, we have the truth that they need, and it's up to us, amen, to nurture them and to help them and to teach them and to show them and to love them. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. When folks are coming to the altar, maybe this is just a church meeting here tonight. Amen. Some instruction. When folks come to the altar, somebody needs to go and pray with them. Well, praise the Lord. Visitors should not be standing at the altar by themselves because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray when I first came to God. I really did not know how to pray. And everybody was excited. They were jumping up and down. They were talking in tongues. They were getting all excited. And I started laughing. And my friend said, what were you laughing about in the altar? I said, it's just funny. Everybody was excited about something, but I didn't know what they were excited about. They didn't give me any direction and no guidance on how to pray and what to do. Amen. They were just praying. Don't go up to someone that's come to the church, they come to the altar and just start shaking them and talking in tongues in their ear and they're just going. I've seen it before where folks would do that and the person is just standing there with their eyes open like this. And I can only imagine what's going through their mind. What are they doing? What are they doing to me? I hope I get out of here alive. Praise God. Well, are y'all with me here tonight? There's a coming together. There's a noise of a coming together that precedes or is actually a part of a revival that God wants to give us. Amen. That noise of coming together is when you're in a Bible study. We had Bible study tonight before church, and I really enjoyed it. Jesus and Troy, amen. I love Jesus. He's got a good personality. He's funny. Amen. And, you know, it invariably, you're going to have it in just about every Bible study. Well, what do I say? What about the dinosaurs? You know, everybody wants to know about the dinosaurs. Where's that in the Bible? Amen. Instead of going, oh, got to go over this again. No. Hey, that's a good question. I think I've got an answer for that question. Praise God. What about the dinosaurs? Well, I'm not going to get into it here tonight. Amen. In the coming together, you have a Bible study, and then you get a call a half an hour after it's supposed to start. Oh, I'm not going to make it tonight. That's the noise of a coming together. You say, oh, no, that's just somebody that needs to get their act together. Well, yeah, I guess so in some ways. But you know what? They're not ready to get their act together. They've got to hear the preaching first. They've got to know where it's got to go together. The reason they're in trouble is because they're trying to put a leg bone in their arm socket. I'm having nothing but troubles in my life. I'm wanting to walk sideways for some reason. And we look at them and say, can't you figure this out? No, I can't figure this out. I don't know why it's that way. Amen. I smell, and when I smell, all I do is hear things because my ear is connected to where my nose is. How did you do that? I don't know how I did that. Folks, I'm telling you, people can get way out there, and they can do strange things, and they can go strange places. But I'm telling you what, there is a revival among our world. Praise God. There is a revival among us. Amen. We've got to see the vision. Praise God. Amen. I want to ask us tonight, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? Are you in the field? Are you in the quarry? Do you have a hammer and a chisel? Do you have a trowel? What are you doing? Praise God. If you're doing something, then there's going to be a noise. Amen. And Acts chapter 4. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to finish here shortly. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, there's the preaching. The priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You know, some folks are not going to go along with it. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Amen. Here we go again. I can hear them say it. Here we go again. We just got out of jail, and now we're going back to jail. And if we get back out and we go back out there and preach again, we're going back to jail again. You know, it's kind of like a glutton for punishment. Back in jail. What's going to happen from our preaching? Well, it's nothing but trouble. It's nothing but problems. And folks, I'm telling you, I've seen preachers quit because it's nothing but problems. I've had many, many pastors tell me they're discouraged because of problems, because of folks that would get upset at them, or folks that would defy them, or folks that would oppose them, or folks that don't believe them, people on the outside, people on the inside, even insurance companies today admit, and they've told me, that it is a very toxic environment today because of the anti-faith and the anti-word and the anti-God movements that is in our world today. What are we going to do? Well, let's just go back and let's just be saved in our house and let's just take our talent and cover it up in a napkin and bury it in the ground, and let's just wait for the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, we don't have that option. We do not have that option. Praise God, because they went out and preached, and they preached because they had a vision. Amen. And look at the very next verse. The very next verse is very telling. And they, excuse me, howbeit, everybody said, howbeit. Amen. Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Praise God. If that was the result before, if they knew that that was going to be the result, they would have said, hey, lock me up right now, please. I want a 5,000 soul revival. But that's not exactly how it works. We're down in the quarry tonight. Amen. And we're chiseling it out. But God has a vision. You know, the story is told of those that were working on that temple. And somebody went down and began to talk to the workers. And they asked one of the workers, and they said, what are you doing? And he had a hammer and a chisel in his hand. And he said, I'm chiseling this stone and I'm making it flat. Okay. Went to another one and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm here for 8 hours. I'm working. It's a job. That's what I'm doing. They went to another one and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm building the most beautiful temple in the whole wide world, a temple for my God. You know what? It's just how we look at what we're doing that's going to make all the difference in the world. What are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher. What are you doing? Oh, I clean bathrooms. What do you do? What are you doing? Oh, this, that, or the other. I'm telling you what, folks, we've got to get a higher vision of what we're doing around here. Amen. Amen. It's more than just taco dinners and this, that, and the other. Praise God. It is building a temple for our God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And the last noise was the noise of life. Prophesy to the wind, and the wind began to blow. Here they were. They came together. We can teach folks. We can minister to them. We can help them. We can lift them up out of their situation only so much. And I want to just say this to everybody here tonight. The church is only limited so much. We can only lift people so high. We can only help people so much. We're not God. We're just people. We're doing the work of God. We're helping them to come together. And they came together, and the bones were in the right place, and the skin and the flesh and all of that. And yet they were just standing there. No breath, no blinking of the eye. They were just standing there. And he said, prophesy to the wind. Well, praise God. And the revival began to take place. And the wind began to blow. And the first one, when the wind hit the first one, as he stood there, he went, I'm alive again. I'm alive again. Praise God. Wow. And then the wind hit the second one. Wow. That's all. I can't believe this. Can you believe this? Wow. And they probably ran over to the prophet and said, who are you? I'm Ezekiel. I've been prophesying to the wind. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for prophesying to the wind. I feel so much better. Oh, I've got life in me now. Praise God. Amen. Folks, we've got to have a Holy Ghost revival among us, because it started this way and it's going to finish this way. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, amen, they were gathered together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise God. What What folly to think that we're going to have the move of God and life before the bones come together, before the groundwork is laid. Amen. I'm finished here tonight, and I hope this speaks to somebody's heart. It's time that we come up and see a higher vision. Amen. This is not a criticism tonight, but we've got to come up higher and see a vision of what God wants to do. Every service is important. Every person is important. That person that you work by, amen, needs God in their life. And we have the truth, and we can share it with them. Amen. Jesus said, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And I thought about that, and I thought, if the harvest is great and the laborers are few, what kind of a harvest will we have if the laborers are many? If everybody gets on board and begins to talk to others about Jesus Christ. If everybody will take one of the tracts in the back, amen, that talks about the Holy Ghost. No, that's all right. Take one of those tracts back in the back and give it to an individual and say, hey, read this and just think about it. You don't have to get in their face, and that's not the way to do it. But just give it to them. Hey, I just felt like giving this to you. And if it offends you, just either give it back or throw it away. But just consider what I'm trying to give you tonight or today. Just a scripture. Just write out a scripture. Ask God to give you a scripture. And then and ask him to show you who to give that scripture to. Praise God. It's a seed that'll begin to grow. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's lift our hands tonight. Let's lift our hands right now. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your presence tonight in this place. Lord, we ask you tonight, God, to help us. We ask you to touch us, Lord, with your presence. In the name of Jesus, I pray, touch the church. Give us a vision. Give us the vision in the Spirit to see the potential, to see the possibilities, to see your will and your plan be accomplished. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.